The Lion of Judah, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, our brother, bridegroom, Savior, Redeemer, and friend, our King, King above all kings. By earthly definition, a king does not serve. A king is served. A king's subjects are expected to die for their king, not the other way around. Yet our King is so much more than any earthly ruler. He exceeds our earthly understanding. When we were fugitives from the kingdom, subject to penalty of death by our own actions, when any other king would have labeled us an offense and been done with us, what did Jesus do? He laid down his royal trappings, stepped out of heaven's perfection, and joined us on earth, the earth that he created, the earth that we perverted. And did he arrive in a fiery chariot, landing in the midst of Jerusalem to proclaim his arrival? No. In tiny Bethlehem, the king was born in a stable, the most humble arrival imaginable. This is our Lord. This is our Savior. This is our King. This is Christ, the King of Kings.
Star to a place unexpected. Would you believe after all we've projected? A child in a manger.
Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Bringing out gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Oh, for his honor and frankincense, for his pleasure and birth, for the cross he'll suffer. Do you believe? This is who we've waited for.
Looking back across the centuries, it can be tempting to only see the highlights of the life of Christ. His birth, that part of the story is very familiar. It's tempting to jump from the cradle to the cross, but in doing that, we ignore years of the most beautiful life ever lived. Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. He poured out the stagnant water of religion as usual and replaced it with living water. He taught us how to love and live. But even before that, Christ grew up, just like all of us. Children, Jesus was once a child, just like you. He experienced many of the same things that you experience. He was raised in a home by his mother and earthly father. Once, when he was 12, he was separated from his family. Where do you think they found him? He was in the temple, amazing the grown-ups with his understanding of Scripture. His mother, Mary, said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Jesus amazed her when he said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I'd be in my Father's house?" This is Christ, Son of God and Son of Man.
The
people of Israel had waited generations for the coming Messiah. Many had given up hope long ago. Inauthentic messiahs had come forward before, and one by one, each of them was proven a fraud. But there was something different about Jesus. The stirrings began the night of his birth. Shepherds claimed that angels told them where to find the newborn king. He was born in David's city, not Jerusalem, but Bethlehem, just as the prophet Micah had foretold. Even the name Jesus referenced Joshua, who brought the children of Israel into the promised land. Herod the Great ordered the death of the male children of Bethlehem when he heard of the birth of Jesus. Even magi from distant lands sought an audience with him, and this was before he uttered a word. And when he did speak, the outrageous message of hope, of peace, of triumph, and heavenly kingdoms brought silence to kings and priests and gave voice to the weak, the meek, and mild. "Who is this man," they asked, "who calls himself King of the Jews?" "This is Christ, the Lion of Judah."
God's purpose, love's grace.
His eyes were always fixed on the cross. The world's first willing sacrifice. He understood long before we did exactly why he was here. Though he walked among us, he was a stranger to us. Though he spoke, we often didn't understand. But he knew. He knew that the blood of 1,000 lambs could not wash away our sin. We needed something stronger. The blood of God's own Son, the man who knew no sin, the God who condescended to us. Without the shedding of blood, he knew, there can be no remission for sin. And in keeping with our fallen world, we spilled his blood in the most outrageous, deplorable way imaginable. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we were healed. On the cross, his blood flowed. Through the ages, his blood reached. Sin could not hide from the crimson flow of sacrifice, atonement, and forgiveness. This is Christ, Redeemer of the world.
Oh, the precious blood.
the Messiah was betrayed, imprisoned, mocked, scorned, murdered, laid in a borrowed tomb. His disciples huddled in fear. His followers' ranks were broken. Surely this little rebellion was over. And it would have been, if this had been an earthly rebellion. He had tried to tell us. Again and again he spoke of his Father's kingdom, of a world beyond our own. Again and again he foresaw that the temple would be destroyed and rebuilt in 3 days, that the Son of Man would suffer many things. We simply didn't understand. We didn't understand that the King did not come to stoke a worldly rebellion, but an otherworldly conquest of death and sin. He is alive. This is Christ, the risen Lord. Price, we are not our own. Christ, through his death and resurrection, has purchased us from death itself. The bonds of sin are broken. We have died with Christ, been raised with him, and now we are free to walk in newness of life. Where once we were owned by sin, now we are purchased by love. This is Christ, our Savior.
Storm winds blow as they nail him to the cross. A crown of thorns masks his precious face. I turn away as his blood flows freely down. My Savior chose, he chose to wear.
Depth of love that I never realized.
One day soon, the clouds will part, and our Savior will return for us. This life of pain and trials will be changed in an instant, replaced by heaven's perfection. We will live eternity in His presence, where we will sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. This is Christ, the King of Kings, Son of Man, Lion of Judah, Redeemer of the world, the risen Lord, our Savior, Master, and returning Bridegroom. Even so, Lord Jesus, come."
In our hearts we often yearn. We join creation in its silent cry, longing for the return of Jesus, when He will light the eastern sky. With a mighty trumpet blast, He'll descend from the clouds, and at last we'll see His face. When He appears, there'll be no more sorrow. We'll behold our Savior in His majesty. He'll wipe away our tears. When we're finally united, our eyes will see the one that will keep on shining far beyond all time and space. What we see through darkened glass,